football sack.
It is that time of the week again. Well, actually it's a day late, but it's the Football Sack Podcast. This week, we welcome back our producer whilst Pete has been kicked out of the producer's chair and has been banned from sound effects for the episode. Welcome, Pete.
Hi, how are you doing, Matt?
I'm very well, mate. And yourself?
Oh, doing very well. Yeah, can't complain at all. I'm a bit disappointed I've been kicked out of the producer's chair. I thought that my use of sound effects last week was quite entertaining. Admittedly, I did go a bit overboard.
You went overboard on the crowd noises, I think.
It was worth it. Come on. Hearing boos in the background of Christian saying pretty much anything. Hilarious right there.
Well, we might let you into the chair next week again. First up, I had a little bit of a experience today.
Well, look, let me just start off by saying, generally when you're doing product placement and doing it on like the radio or on a podcast, you don't really need to be wearing a t-shirt.
Well,
only if we're doing this with a camera and we're filming this, then you wear the t-shirt, but no, you've decided to wear a Qantas t-shirt. What's the story behind that?
Yeah, I was down in the Domain at Sydney today.
Obviously, you don't have a job.
I followed that up with an audition and then onto a job. Thank you very much. I managed to have a penalty against Ivan Chevsky, Sydney FC reserve keeper.
And how'd you go?
Failed miserably.
How am I not surprised?
Didn't actually get the ball on target, so didn't test Nachevsky.
And what was his reaction afterwards? Did you at least send him the wrong way or anything?
Or he kind of just had a little smirk on his face. I bent it. I did quite well bending the ball, but bent it too far to the left.
Right, yeah. I think he stuffed that one up big time.
I did.
Bit of an embarrassment.
I was thrown by the handshake from Mark Schwarzer.
You got the t-shirt for participating in this event, yes?
Yeah, you did. Luckily, you got prizes for participation, which is generally where I succeed.
That's fantastic.
Also got a soccer ball.
And where would that be?
Lost it.
Fantastic.
On the way from the Domain, Sydney, back to my house. Lost it on the way. It's unfortunate.
Typical Matt.
Let's start the podcast first segment by getting into some... No, we can get into some A-League news first. I've forgotten how we do this, Pete.
Yeah, you cross to the news desk.
We do the.
I tell you the news,
and then we go.
And
to
then
player
we go
tweets.
Into our player tweets. Okay?
Got it. All right.
So to the news desk.
Across we go to the news desk.
Perth Glory have continued strengthening their squad for the new season by signing former Gold Coast United utility man Bas van den Brink. He'll partner Chris Coyne if fit in defence. Filling in Bas van den Brink's gap at Gold Coast will be mate of his, Paul Beekmans. At 191cm tall, Beekmans has a lot of pressure to perform at his new club. Somewhat sticking to Gold Coast, Clive Palmer has come out recently, saying that he has no intention of signing Harry Kuehl, who has pretty much been linked with every other A-League club. However, it appears that Sydney FC and Melbourne Victory are leading the race to get his signature. And finally, the Matilda squad has been announced, with Lisa Devana among the 22 names, and it also appears that Tom Simoni has picked a very youthful squad with 8 of those players under the age of 21, and that's the news.
Couple of things about that, Pete. Clive Palmer, firstly, he didn't really need to come out and say he's not interested in signing Harry Kuehl.
Oh, no, Gold Coast don't need Harry Kuehl, they're good enough as it is.
Mainly the reason is that they've already come out and said that they're going to operate at the minimum budget at 85% cap. So,
yeah.
Clive Palmer, it's not really media release worthy. Secondly, I dislike the name or the term utility player. I just, there's too many of those in the A-League.
Bas van den Brink really is, though, because he's a proper centre-back, but at Gold Coast he was used as more of a holding midfielder. At times he actually went into the attacking midfield role. So he really is that kind of utility man in that centre of the park.
Utility for me just means, they're quite fast, not that skillful, but, you know, stick them on 50,000, they'll do all right.
Yeah, it's fair enough.
And finally, Lisa Devana back in the squad.
It's interesting seeing that because, as we know, a couple of the weeks ago, we talking to Tom Simoni, he was basically saying that it's the end of Devana in the Matilda's squad, that she's out for good. And then last week we hit with the news that she's back in, so interesting stuff. But I don't think that there could be a Matilda squad without Devana. She really is such a pivotal point of that squad. I don't think we could do very well in the World Cup without someone like her up front.
Yeah, it doesn't really... He just questions Tom Samani's
coaching, I don't know, is the discipline, I guess. Who am I to say it's the Australian way?
Exactly. Now we can move on. If you don't remember, segment two is... Player Tweets! Excellent!
Yeah. First up, we have from Tim Cahill, special guest at the Footy Fans Down Under Awards the other week, where I think we won an award, did we?
Something like that.
Yeah, I think we won some...
I don't know, best podcast of the year.
Best podcast.
Yeah. I don't know, beating the world game in 4-4-2, something like that. Nothing
special.
Anyway, Timmy Cahill, what
Timmy
did he
Cahill,
say?
He said... He's got a bit of a... Does he have an English accent or Australian accent? It's pretty Australian.
Pretty Australian.
Yeah. All right. Also had photo shoot and TV shoot for Sony for new products. Wow, there's some exciting gadgets coming out. Yeah, there are some exciting gadgets coming out for... He said with Sony.
I don't know. Is it just Sony or are there other products such as Samsung? Like, are Samsung releasing anything, do you know of?
Well, as a Samsung representative in my other life, I could tell you about the whole range of Samsung smart TVs.
Please don't. Just read the next tweet.
The next tweet is from Timmy Cahill. It says, I'm giving Bozza man of the match for the panel as well. Just tip Slater because of his... coulda shoulda joke.
Sure, why not?
Bozza, he obviously likes Bozza. Because Timmy Cahill, he was tweeting the whole match. Yeah. Getting fans, you know, interacting with fans.
That's fantastic. I love to see that.
I like that. Finally, from the one and only Timmy Cahill. Cheers to the banter. It's been really entertaining and friendly, bar a few. Never mind. Thanks for my fan support. Priceless.
It really is good to see players such as Timmy getting feedback from fans and interacting and so on.
Positive or negative.
Exactly. But that's one of those things that got Harry Kewell off Twitter, for instance.
Pretty quickly.
Because with so much abuse from fans, he just deleted his account straight away. But credit to Timmy Cahill for keeping it up.
He's stuck in there and he's finally getting the positive stuff that Kewell missed out on.
Exactly.
And that was...
Player Tweets! Excellent! Yeah!
Ooh. Alright, there were a couple of Socceroos matches on the weekend and on Tuesday. Pete, can you possibly just give me a rundown of what happened last night?
I can, but isn't this meant to be like a back and a forth kind of situation here? I say a bit, and you say a bit, and we argue and so on.
I didn't actually get to see it. Yeah, well, you know, I'm a reasonably successful actor. I was doing just another TV commercial, yeah.
Yeah, I don't believe that.
Well, I made an appearance at a club as I'm in demand after our Best Football Podcast Award.
That's not true either.
I took a little trip down to Adelaide.
Okay, now you're just lying.
I was asleep. Okay, I'm back.
Yeah, okay, that's more like
Fell asleep, I'm sorry. It was a really late game. The game was on really late.
It was 7:30.
Well, there's a time difference down in Melbourne.
No, there isn't. No,
well, you know, just... I'm sorry. Take me through the game, Pete.
Okay, Sunday we saw Socceroos taking on New Zealand at Adelaide Oval. I personally thought it was a really boring game, despite there being three goals scored by the Socceroos. Dario Vidicic scoring the penalty right at the end of the game.
That was nice.
Yeah, that
nice moment for him.
I guess. A lot of people would understand my feelings towards national team football. I just find it pointless and pathetic, but that's just me. And the other game that we saw was last night between Socceroos and Serbia. They played out a nil-all draw in what was a reasonably open match. With a couple of good shots and Adam Federici being the standout player.
Quite funny, isn't it? The 3-0 result was the boring game and the 0-0 draw was the quite entertaining match.
Apparently so.
to be fair, I was actually I was watching the New Zealand match with you guys, with the Football Sack team.
Yeah, we took a bit of a trip. We went to the Royal Exhibition Hotel, which is award-winning.
Also award-winning.
Like us.
Thought it was quite fitting that we drink there.
Yeah. Winners drink with winners, you know.
Yeah, that's. We had a look at their trophy, and we talked about ours, showed pictures.
Ours is bigger than theirs.
I think ours is bigger. But we were there, and Pete Novakovsky, Supernova Pete, you copped a bit of flack from a couple people on the Twitter, because you were doing the Twitters up until halftime, and then after that, Matty Collard came on, and we thank him for that. But up until halftime, it was you at the pub tweeting whenever you could.
Yes.
But you copped a bit of flack for a couple of things you said.
Yeah.
Or a couple of the things you didn't say.
Yeah, well, for instance, I was tweeting from my personal account for the second half. One thing which I did say was the Robbie Cruz dive, which resulted in that penalty right at the end of the game. I made a comment about how Robbie Cruz is somewhat of a glass man. You only have to look at him and he's going to dive over. I copped a lot of stick about that one, mainly because people were saying I'm very Sydney biased and that I need to take off my blue goggles and so on, which I think is absolute bollocks. Okay, just because I didn't mention Alex Bross taking a dive previously doesn't mean I didn't see it. And I just think that's not fair.
Because I was there with you, Pete, and whilst I maybe thought it was a penalty, you shook your head at that at Alex Bross. Because we do know that he does tend to flog that card.
I have nothing against players who are going to take a dive in the box. Like, I do it myself. If I'm going to get pushed in the back, I'm going to take a dive. What do you expect? A goal's a goal at the end of the day. But if you're going to make it so blatantly obvious that you're going to fall over the moment that someone's going to come near you, like Robbie Cruz does every single time he's on the pitch, or Alex Bross does constantly, then I don't think that's fair.
Hmm. Agreed. And just...
Thanks.
Just...
I'm so passionate about this, and you can just say, like, I agree.
I agree. Thanks, Pete. Thanks for that. Thanks for clearing that up. Can I just say that the Football Sack... not Sydney biased. We have a couple of writers in Sydney, but we also have writers in Melbourne, in Perth, in Brisbane, in the Gold Coast, out in New Zealand. Newcastle.
Yeah.
So, a bit annoying that we get that.
Exactly. I don't think that's right.
Moving on.
And if you continue to do this, I'll report you for spam on Twitter, and it's all on you.
We know people at Twitter. Twitter.com.
Exactly.
They're our mates.
Exactly. They could be.
They're not. Let's move on. Let's get into some of the New South Wales Premier League. Now, the game I'm looking forward to seeing on Sunday.
Yes.
Supernova.
Yes.
Is the 3 p.m. draw. It is Sydney Olympic versus South Coast Wolves. Now, this is happening at Belmore Sports Ground.
Oh, so this is the first game at home, basically, for Sydney Olympic.
For the season, yeah. Now, they've got a string of home games at this Belmore Sports Ground. I took Christian past there the other day, have gone past there quite a bit on the train. It's right next to the train station. It doesn't look ready.
So we still got the construction tape around
everywhere. Once it's going to be finished, it's going to look very good. They're building it. It looks like they're building some more corporate facilities, I think. They're replacing all the seating. And at the moment, the seating is unavailable. The grandstand is going to be unavailable for this weekend's game.
So pretty much everyone's going to be sitting on the hill or standing around the fence.
That's right.
Even us media.
Behind the goals. No, the media. No. There are actually, because I think the media boxes are on the other side. Not in the actual grandstand.
Ah, fantastic. Yeah. So we'll have seats.
Hopefully.
I'll look forward to that.
The media rep from Sydney Olympic actually hasn't got back to me on that yet, so hopefully we have seats. Hopefully we have somewhere to plug in our laptop so we can do a match report.
Hopefully.
If you are listening, Samantha.
Yeah, I've got your phone number right here. I'll give you a call later on.
She actually listens to the podcast, so I'm sure she is listening.
Exactly.
A couple of the other results that happened from the week just gone. We spoke a little bit about them in our bonus episode of the podcast. So if you would like to know what happened, have a listen to last week's episode or Sunday's episode.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah. Otherwise, I will eventually get around to writing a wrap-up. Uni's kind of taken over my life at the moment, but I'll get there, trust me.
Pete, can you take us through a couple of the games coming up this weekend? Because there are a few exciting ones.
Yeah, there are a few exciting games and a couple of interesting matches, which should be easy wins. Bonnyrigg White Eagles are taking on Parramatta FC. That's at Bonnyrigg Sports Ground. You have to say it's going to be an easy win for Bonnyrigg, but Parramatta could cause them some issues, especially after their win in the Waratah Cup tonight.
I was about to say, although Parramatta tonight, they won, was it 3-1 to Southo?
Yes.
3-1 Sutherland Shire. Robbie Stanton doesn't really mind at all. I think he was playing youth in that game. So Sutherland Shire probably didn't put up the best competition for Parramatta.
Probably not. Other games include Marconi Stallions versus Bankstown City. You have to say Marconi is going to get the result there.
Mm-hmm.
Manly United versus Sydney United. I'm tipping this is going to be match of the round, mainly because Manly have been so fantastic in recent weeks, but they've also been very hot and cold. So anything's really possible there. And Sydney United, as we know, they're coming third on the table. They've been quite consistent.
Mm.
Exactly. Up your Leichhardt Tigers are taking on Rochdale City Suns. It could go either way. I'm probably predicting a draw there. Not expecting too much.
Mm.
And finally, Blacktown City are taking on Sutherland Sharks, which Sutherland really do need the result.
Yeah.
So,
they should turn their season around, so to speak. They're only one point off the pace, but if things don't start picking up again, good luck to them chasing their wins as Sydney Olympic have this string of home games that we were talking about.
Exactly. Why don't we kind of cross the country now and have a bit of a chat about the WA State League?
I can do that if you'd like to. The WA State League. We haven't talked about that in a couple of weeks. Across the country, Western Knights, they lost to NTC, which is the academy over there.
Okay, they lost. What was the score?
4-1.
Wow, they didn't just lose, they got thumped.
They got demolished. Now, NTC, we tried to figure out how many games they've won and lost this season, but we couldn't because their games are not contested for points as they're the academy side. But we know that they haven't won. I think that's one of the first games they've won, if not the first.
I wouldn't be surprised if that's their first win of the season.
They lose or draw every other game, and they somehow managed to get a 4-1 drumming to the Western Knights. Western Knights, they'll be a bit demoralised after that because they have
They were top of the table for a while, weren't they? They were definitely up there.
They were second, I believe.
And now they've slipped down to fourth.
They're fourth. So they were contesting for the top spot, and now to lose to the bottom-placed NTC, or, you know, the academy side. Unfortunate for them, and I hope they pick up soon. Because, you know, because it was them that got... Was it them that lost 6-1? There was a 6-1 result that they were involved in. That's Perth SC. I'm not sure which way it went.
That sounds familiar, so I'm going to take your word on this.
Yeah. Okay, conversely to that result, Floreat Athena, they're storming up the table at the moment. They had a 4-0 hammering of Armidale, which pushes them up to fifth spot. Floreat Athena, they were on the bottom. They were down the bottom only a few weeks ago.
This is the side that Dave from That Was a Goal was in. Yes?
I believe so, and the season turned around when he left the club.
Wow. Yeah.
They're now fifth.
It's all on you, Dave, yeah. Fifth on the table, that's fantastic to see. So, credit to them. Obviously, they're playing some lovely football at the moment.
Well, and they're usually, because they are historically a powerhouse and hadn't been this season up until now. So, they could make the playoffs and do rather well.
Exactly. If you want to see some highlights of the WA State League, we have them up on our website. The match of the round was Inglewood United taking on Mandurah City. And there you go.
Do we want to move now to the VPL? Do we have much to say about the VPL? Because my point about the VPL is that we have a new leader up the top. Oakley Cannons have been overrun on goal difference. Pete's fact-checking that. He doesn't trust me. But Hume City are equal on goal difference, equal on points, rather, with Oakley Cannons. Goal difference, however, they are ahead. So, new leader, Oakley Cannons, Arthur Pappas, coach of Oakley Cannons, his nightmares have come true, and he's now second place.
Yeah, the concept of turning points have really taken hit to the sides which were top of the table. All we need now is Balcatta from WA to reach their turning point and start losing a few. Because we've seen the same thing happen at Sutherland in the New South Wales Premier League. They've reached this point now and things have just turned for the worse.
All you need to start talking about now, Pete, is philosophy of football and we'll be on to a winner.
No, sorry, I don't mention the P word here.
Dandenong Thunder, they lost, I believe, this weekend.
Dandenong had a 1-1 draw with Hume City.
Or was it the week before they lost?
Yes.
So they've been having a couple of mixed results. Because earlier in the season, Dandenong Thunder, we were comparing them to one of the better sides in the league. Not just the league, in the country, because we were talking about which state league side is the best state league side in the country. And a lot of Christian Leyland, I believe, said Dandenong Thunder.
Yeah.
Liam from Football Federation Victoria said Dandenong Thunder. And they've had a loss and then a draw.
Yeah, it really is interesting about everything that's going on.
Goes to prove that off-field troubles do affect your on-field performance.
Yeah, of course. Also, the fact that they had the points deduction and so on, everything just hits them in one go. Mm. Sydney Olympic really haven't had to worry about this.
They've had different problems.
They have. Now, for the sake of continuing this argument of which is the best state league club in the country, Sydney Olympic now face the biggest issue of having to play at home. Because they've managed to play away for so many weeks, how will they play at home?
Well, I thought that would be a positive thing. I thought they would be... Or does it? Are you saying that it would bring too much
pressure?
Perhaps
there'll be a lot of pressure on them.
See, I don't know. I think they'll get the fans behind them. They'll get this strong crowd. Hopefully the grandstand will be eventually finished and they'll, you know...
Quite possibly. Moving back to Victorian Premier League for a moment, we also had another... Two very interesting results. South Melbourne having a 0-0 draw with Heidelberg United. Interesting them with South Melbourne, especially the way that they've been going lately.
That was the game that decides whether they're who's in the relegation spot, or is that Melbourne Knights? I often get South Melbourne and Melbourne Knights mixed up, and I apologise for that profusely.
That's okay. Well, Melbourne Knights actually had a 5-0 demolition over Springvale. Yeah, Springvale, sorry. I thought there was another name at the end of there, but maybe we can add another name.
Springvale White Eagles, I believe?
No, it is the White Eagles, but we could name them something else if we wanted
to. I like the White Eagles. We kind of like the names of animals.
So yes, Melbourne Knights having the 5-0 win over Springvale White Eagles. So, huge result there.
Can you take us through a bit of the table? Who the top few teams and the bottom couple?
So first up, we've got Hume City. They're sitting with 30 points. 33 goals and 18 against them, so goal difference of plus 15 there. Oakley Cannons, they only have a goal difference of plus 10, not the best for them, but they are on equal points. We've got South Melbourne coming up third with 28 points. Bringing up the rear of the table, St. Albans Saints or United or Eagles or Tigers, whatever the hell we want to call them, they've got 3 points. Yay, 3 draws. And a goal difference of minus 29. So things aren't looking good for them at the moment.
Wow. Sorry, I'm just going to have a look at the table myself. The team that I... Because now I want to get in my mind 100% who is South Melbourne and who is Melbourne Knights. Because I'm not from Victoria, so I'm not too sure.
South Melbourne playing blue.
Okay.
Melbourne Knights playing black from memory.
I like the added from memory because it might not actually be true. Okay, so Melbourne Knights, they're the ones down the bottom of the table, and they're the ones that are possibly going to get relegated this season.
Yes.
And that would be awful for them.
It would be.
Joining St. Albans Saints, who are definitely getting relegated.
Yes.
St. Albans. When will you learn? All right, that about wraps up all we need to talk about in the VPL.
Let's do a couple of shout-outs first up. So, obviously, we want to thank Football New South Wales, so Mark Stavroulakis, Brewster Silver, and the rest of the team there.
Lovely.
We've got... Football Federation Victoria. Obviously, we have to thank their podcast as well. Oh, it's kind of somewhat of our podcast as well. Somewhat of a hybrid, I guess you could say.
The reason for that is because Christian Leyland, Chief of Staff of the Football Sack, appeared on the show, on episode 4 of On the Bench, which is their podcast. And conversely, Liam, host of their show, appeared on our show. Well, I'm not sure which episode that was, but a bit of overlap there happening.
Yeah, exactly.
I love it.
Yeah.
Love it. So thanks to Liam and to FFV, also to FNSW for all their involvement and spruiking our podcast, because we love it when people let others know about our podcast. If you can, tell you what, because we want to get the word out there, now that we are this you know, we are this amazing best football podcast in the country.
Don't worry, it hasn't gone to our head at all.
We would love to get the word out there because we need more people to be listening, and so we can then sell the podcast ad revenue and get sponsors on board and give us money. That'd be nice.
Yeah, that would be nice. Especially since you guys spent my entire budget of $5 on Party Poppers last week.
There's nothing wrong with that, Pete. There's nothing, there's, you know.
That's cool. There goes all my budget for the week. Oh, actually, for the year. For the year. That's my budget right there.
Wasn't it worth it? Those poppers?
Yeah, it was pretty worth it. If you want to find out what actually happened during the Footy Fans Down Under Awards, we have a video of our experience. So us getting ready for the event, we have what actually went on during the night, really, as well as Christian in the morning after.
And a special appearance from the one and only Timmy Cahill that we were doing the player tweets off before. So jump online. We're going to chuck that up in the sidebar on the main page, so you'll be able to check it out there. Pete, we've had a relatively quick show today.
We have. We could extend it if you wanted to. No. Make up a couple of random stuff.
I think we've talked long enough.
Sounds good.
Well, you know what? Because we had a bonus episode of the show, so we talked about all the stuff then, and today we're just rambling on.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, thank you for listening. Tell all your friends, tell your colleagues, whoever, about the Football Sack Podcast. My name is Matt Greenwald. That there is Supernova Pete Novakovsky. Say goodbye, Pete.
Goodbye.
See you later, guys.